folks. It is Thursday night, December 15th, 2016. You're listening to episode 50 of the AIH Superfans podcast, and I am one of your superfan pals. My name is Alan. On Twitter, you can find me at Slip with five eyes or Slip.
Hey, I'm Rodella. You can find me at Big Poppy Peg City.
I'm Brian, and you can find me on Twitter.com at Brian from AIH.
And we have, for a 50th episode, a old school superfan making a return to talk to us tonight. Who's out there?
I had to change my my Twitter handle, but it's cat at part cat.
Part cat. And yeah. Something, there's some noise out there somewhere. Something's happening.
My daughter's singing.
Oh. Does she want to come on?
Nika, do you want to be on the podcast? Because we can hear you.
It's Alyssa. Sorry, Dad.
Lay down the law there, Dad. Fuck off, there Dad. All right. I know, Kat, you're probably antsy to talk about another hockey team, but we're going to start talking about the Jets first.
Why?
Because they played tonight and they won. It was like a massive, monumental, wonderful victory, was it not?
It was awesome.
Seems it always happens when we're going to record a podcast.
Yeah, and then what happens is they win, and then like a minute later, Arby's like, sorry guys, can't do the show.
I wonder why.
Yeah. By the way, Kat, I didn't tell you. Arby dropped out like literally right after the game. He's like, I'm out, guys. I think that he's just so burnt up by Jets wins that he can't join us. What a fan. All right, let's go over tonight's game. I'll give you kind of the Coles notes from the box score here. Jets win 4-3 in a... Ooh, that tells me I got to restart my computer. You guys didn't hear that noise, but I'm not restarting now. All right, 4-3 in a shootout. The Jets are outshot by the Panthers 44-32. Florida goes 3-for-3 on the power play, all in the second period. The Jets go 0-for-2. The Jets basically were up 1-0 after the first. Then the Panthers scored 3 goals in the second. The Jets got 1 back, so it was 3-2 after 2. Third period, Ryan Little ties the game up. Overtime solves nothing. They go to a shootout. I think it went to 6 shooters, and Matthew Perreault eventually puts the winner in, so the Jets do get a win tonight. They are now 14-16-3. My math tells me that's 31 points in 33 games. So, I mean, it's a win. Is it a promising win, or is it just kind of a win over a bad team?
Statement win. Stanley Cup.
They had to shake off a lot of rust to win. Is basically what it was.
That's the new thing, right? That we're talking about now is that, you know, what was it, 4 days ago, this team was just playing way too much. Now they're rusty.
Yeah. You know, never mind the fact that when they lost to Calgary, they had the same amount of games played at 31. 31 in 59 days is what Calgary played. And they were, you know, after that win, Calgary was first place in the Pacific, right?
Yes.
But it's okay.
They don't have a schedule, just the Jets.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, now when we get into the backstretch of the season, you're going to have an easier schedule. Isn't that supposed to be good?
Yes.
It should be, but...
Supposedly. We'll see. Yeah. I'm guessing, and I know I was able to catch... I got the whole third period in, because I was at Star Wars, which I'll try not to talk about, because I don't want to spoil it, but it was awesome. And... but... Certainly, I'm guessing all of the call-in shows for this game are going to feature more bitching about the referees. Right?
Well, because, you know, I guess because Toby took 3 penalties in the second period and they scored on every power play.
Well, in the third, I mean, it got you know, a lot of hooking and holding across the board and... Really, no power plays for the Jets came out of that. A couple of 4-on-4s that developed. The Jets scored on one of them. Fans were pissed, though, at the refs, as usual. So I'm sure someone's going to say that it's fixed against the Jets and still, you know, if you believe it's fixed, why are you paying $150 for tickets? I don't know. Looking over time on the ice tonight, we have the fourth line, Thorburn clocking in a cool 5 minutes and 9 seconds, and Andrew Kopp with 7 minutes and 3 seconds, Brandon Tanev with 10 minutes and 13 seconds, because I guess some shorthanded time for him. On the flip side, Mark Scheifele, 23 minutes. And I'm just looking at forwards right now. Scheifele, 23 minutes. Wheeler, 22. Brian Little, 20 minutes. Ehlers, 19 minutes and 25 seconds. And is Ehlers just like do a goal? Like badly?
Yes. Do 20.
He was ridiculous in the third period.
Oh, he's ridiculous in most games. Just his skill and his speed is just, you know, vastly different than everybody else on the team. Man.
So we all assume that the goals are going to come for Ehlers at some point in time, right? Or is he like, you know, is he just a guy that's really good at putting moves on and then not putting it in the net?
Maybe. I'll be completely honest with you guys. I literally, maybe all this season, I've watched like 3 periods of the Jets play hockey. Just because, like, I can find better things to do with my time.
Were those the 3 periods that they played Philadelphia?
Yeah, pretty much. Actually, you know what? No, it wasn't. I didn't even watch that game. I think I watched the last period.
Oh, lovely. By the way, the on the defense, really interesting here. Four defensemen with well into the 20s, Dustin Byfuglien, 29 minutes of ice time. Now, of course, we had 5 minutes of overtime, so there was some of that. Enstrom, 28 minutes. Trouba, 25. Morrissey, 23. Postma, 8. Sherratt, 9.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so we're not trusting our bottom two defensemen. We're basically giving all the minutes to our, the top four guys that are in there tonight. Now, one of the reasons that they may be in this position and something on our list, Brian, what's the situation with Tyler Myers?
So, supposedly, according to Maurice that said it, I don't even remember, said Myers hit a plateau with his recovery. And I'm thinking that he might not play the rest of the year.
Good thing they drafted Morgan Stanley.
Logan Stanley?
Logan Riley.
Logan Riley.
Logan Riley.
Better off drafting Morgan Stanley.
Yeah, we've got our tall defenseman kind of lined up, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just signed who, like, seriously though, guys, like, who signs a kid who's never played a game in the NHL to an entry level contract? Like, that's November. Just crazy. That's just crazy. I don't understand that. Like, what's Chevy doing?
I don't know what to tell you. Don't they have to sign entry level contracts before they can play in the NHL?
Yeah, before they can play any games in
the NHL. Yeah, so everyone signs them.
It's a joke. I know. Whoosh. It's a joke. If you followed Flyers Twitter, anytime a player signs an entry level contract, NHL flyer up makes a joke and gets fans literally super angry because he always makes the joke. Like, when any prospect signs an entry-level contract, like, why would you sign someone with no NHL experience to an entry-level contract? That's just ludicrous. And then, like, fans get legit just really upset with them.
Really? Flyers Twitter trolls people on Twitter?
Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's one of the best things to ever witness on Twitter.
So we have nothing else other than this statement, Brian, on Myers so far?
That's all I've seen.
What's his injury?
And then his lower body.
His hip, right?
Okay, so is it his hip or his knee? Because he had problems with both, right? He had the hip surgery and the knee surgery, right?
Everything is hearsay, and you guys would know more than I would. I'm kind of far away and out of the rumor loop.
I don't know anything.
All right. Well, he's so we'll see. I mean, he's MIA. What other injuries are we still dealing with? Armia and
contact jerseys today.
Yeah, Armia and Matthias
and Pitan. They're all in contact jerseys today.
Okay. At practice. So we're getting closer.
Good news. Patan's back. That's good.
It'd be interesting to see what they do in Pitan when Pitan gets back. You know, because obviously they moved away from Perot being up the middle. Because the logical move would be to put him in the middle and drop Lowry down to the fourth line and sit Thorburn. But obviously that's not gonna fucking happen, right? So when Pitan gets back, it'd be really interesting to see. Because he's another left shot, creative forward / center that would help out with the power play too. He looked good on the power play before he got hurt too. So it'd be interesting to see if he hits the lineup and what type of deployment they have up the middle when he gets back.
Who's
nice?
So people are very active over on the other ends of these calls. I don't know what's happening, but there's like bumping and.
It's not me.
Crackling. Kat, it's you, right?
No, I'm just reading Twitter right now. Listening to you guys talk.
Listening to talk about the Jets. All right. Anything else from tonight's game that, I mean, I'm just looking at, so Perot gets a goal in, well, a shootout goal, but he gets an assist in the game, lining with an assist. Bufflin with his fourth, Lowry with his seventh. Adam Lowry. I mean, goal-wise, 7 goals at this point in the season isn't too bad, is it?
No, they're giving him every opportunity to score too, right? But
yeah, with how he's deployed, he should probably have more.
And he only played 13 minutes tonight, right?
Yeah. All right, I'm just going to look quickly while I'm looking at some Jets stuff here. We this is a win, by the way, that came off a number of losses. The Jets, let me just recall correctly, they were in Edmonton, and somebody scored the game winner for the Oilers. I'm trying to remember. Does anyone remember who it was?
Chris Russell?
I think it was...
Steve Smith.
I think it was Alex Ovechkin 2.0.
Well, he can rifle it in his own net too, right? So I know that that game is, you know, behind us, but I am curious to know, because I saw the goal a few times, and does anyone have any idea what the hell he was trying there? Like
the score.
He wasn't trying anything. It was instinct that just came.
Yeah,
that's all. Oh yeah, for sure. It happens in basketball too. You know, someone makes a big rebound and puts it back into his own net, right? Like it's just a goal scorer's reflex. To be honest, he had no idea. There's no way that he's trying to clear that puck past his own net. There's no way. Like, I mean, if he's thinking totally defensively there, he takes that puck. And he fires it into the corner that's closest to him, not the opposite one, past the fucking net. Like,
Alan, what it boils down to is sometimes we all make bad life choices. we just make them, and we don't really think about what we just did, but we just did something really bad. And I think Lonnie had one of those moments that night.
Did you see the tweet? I think it was from Hockey Database. Someone did an alteration to Patrick Laine's stats where in this season they gave him one game played for the Oilers with a goal. Yeah. well, that game.
He really wants to play with McDavid.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. I mean,
he can stay up on his skates.
Oh, come on, Kat. That guy, he's playing a lot better. Before that game, like the Oilers game had that disappointing ending, obviously. I think the real disappointing game, though, was the Calgary game last Saturday where the Jets lost 6-2, right? And kind of got their asses smoked.
Absolutely smoked.
And that one, what was it? Hutchinson started that game and then he got yanked and, Hellebuck didn't fare a lot better. I mean, the team was just completely flat in that game.
In fairness, though, Hutchinson was like, he was peppered in the first period. Like, to keep it a game after the first period, he was, I don't know how many shots it was, like, what, 17, 18 shots in the first period? Anybody remember?
It was bad. I can click on it and I will tell you if it let me. What is this? This fucking NHL.com site again. What a piece of shit.
It's terrible. I'm on it too.
Like, absolute fucking garbage. Like, I just want a box score. Oh, what do you know? Nowhere to see shots. That's fucking great. Hate this website. Like, the website of the league that's supposed to show the things. Here we go. 35-28. They don't have it by period. At least at the start here. Wasn't a good game, though. Before that, they lost to the Rangers. Now, I didn't see the Rangers game. I heard that it was, there wasn't really much to say about the game. It was a 2-1 loss. Nothing?
Yeah, other than the Stafford penalty. That's the one with the Stafford penalty with 3 minutes left, right?
Could be, but NHL.com won't tell me right away, so fuck it. And then last Tuesday, we'll just go back to last Tuesday because I think that's the last time, or the first game after we last talked. That was Detroit winning 4-3 in a shootout. And, oh no, I think we did talk about that one because we were all upset because, that was the one where Stafford got put in the shootout.
Well, hey guys, the app is actually pretty good. Calgary had in the first period 16 shots on goal versus Winnipeg 9. Second period, they had 13 shots on goal, 6 for Winnipeg. In the third period, Winnipeg had 13 shots on goal. Calgary had 6.
Woo! Third period, shots win.
After 2 Florida had 36 shots on net after two periods. 36.
I mean, it. You know, what I find funny, and this is just a Scorefex theory, but there's all this talk about how the Jets are, they start off poorly, their second periods are really bad in particular, but then they're dynamite in the third period. Isn't that just a Scorefex thing because they're behind?
Absolutely. And today too, you know, you're an away team, you've lost 4 in a row. Are you really going to jeopardize your 1 point? Right? So clearly today, Florida had 6 shots on net in the third period after getting 36 off in the first two periods. So obviously they were playing for the tie. They were playing for the point. They're playing for the shootout, right? Like, that's definitely Scorefex. And you know what? Being so bad in the second period all year long, like, I don't know how many, they've been outscored over 27 goals now. Just in the second period? There's got to be something wrong. Like, how do you not prepare for that? How do you not make adjustments? How do you not motivate your team to even amp up your effort in the second period?
But also, not even that. Do they even have the players capable? Like, there's one thing to have a system, right? But to have do the Jets have players that can play in that system, right?
Well, what's the system? Like, you know what,
like,
you know
a
what
defense, my problem like is? A, like an all team, like, I don't, like, you guys, it's 10:41 at night. Like, you know, it's like if you have a coach and your coach deploys a system, right? You know, sometimes you might not have players that can play well within your coach's system. So is it Maurice's system that's not working, or is it the fact that Jets don't have the horses that can play within Maurice's system, and that's why they're failing? Or is it just goaltending? They have shitty goaltending and bad defense.
Well, like, not when you're being outshot every game, right? Yeah. To me, if you're being outshot, then you're not possessing the puck, right? And to me, the basic flaws of this Jets team is the way that they keep possession of the puck, right? If you have the bottom six, so with a lot more grit than skill, in a league where fourth lines are icing much more skilled, you know, many more skilled players than in the past, right? When you've got, you know, Tanev is quick and fast, and yeah, he's really quick to the puck, but other than that, what else does he do? right? Does he drive the play? He's great on the forecheck, but does he drive the play? Does he have good possession numbers? You know what? In dumping and chipping and chasing, you know what? Do the numbers like Edmonton and that first line? How many times do they dump the puck in or chip and chase? Like, I don't know. It's if you don't have possession of the puck, then you're obviously not going to get as many shots on goal.
So I'm still seeing a lot of, and it's really kind of ramped up in the last couple of weeks, but there's quite a bit of this get rid of Paul Maurice stuff going around. I said my piece last time we recorded, but is this what, you know, and Riddell, you're in the city all the time. Kat, I don't know how much you listen to any Jets coverage, but is this what the talk is in town too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is on the radio too. And, yeah. You know, there's a lot of glaring things that, you know, just point to him not making the right adjustments or not making the right moves. Like, you've had the crappiest penalty kill in power play in forever, right?
But I'm just going to say something, though, here. Is it Maurice's fault he doesn't have the players that can...
I'd argue that they have more skill on this team than they've ever had, especially now that Little's healthy. Like, at any point in time in the Jets' existence, have they had as strong a forward core? Like, we're icing Chris Thorburn just to ice him, not because we need to. We don't need to have Chris Thorburn in the lineup. Like, honestly, you know, how many times did we call up Chase DeLeo for him to sit in the press box?
But do you think that that's really a case of just Paul Maurice going completely rogue on the organization? Like, do you think that Chipman...
Paul Maurice is loyal to a fault.
But he's got...
been shown over and over and over again.
But he's got people to answer to. He's got people to answer to. He's got a boss.
Yeah.
So are they all complicit then in the decisions that are being made by the coach over and over again?
In any organization, the end game and the roster decision making is always up to the coach, right?
Well, so, again, the coach
who... I'll disagree on that one.
The coach...
Especially when you hear in the past that, like, it's not always up to whatever coach was coaching the Winnipeg Jets, that there was influence coming from above to play certain players.
And the coach...
If you're a coach, though, and you're put on the spot and your job's on the line, are you gonna ice a team that you know is inferior to what you could have out there?
Well, if
like just within the people that are on the roster, you could ice a better team. Like, no doubt about it. Just take Chris Thorburn out of the lineup. Like, it makes no sense. Why would you? Why wouldn't you put Matthew Perreault in the middle and be deep up the middle? With Adam Lowry that you have all the confidence in, right? Why wouldn't you get deep up the middle and have four stronger lines? And
but again, like I'm not questioning that's bad. Like, I agree with you that I think it's a shitty decision. The question that I'm asking you is, within the Winnipeg Jets organization, is Paul Maurice the only person that believes that and has all the power to do that and no one can stop him?
Absolutely.
You think that he's just going at it completely by himself? Chevy doesn't have his ear at all?
Hey, listen. Chevy laid the foundation preseason, right? He said his job is to get the people on the roster, get the horses to run the race. Right?
Every GM says that. Why is Andrew McDonald playing over Michael Delzato or Ratko Gudas? You think Haxtell thinks that his team stands a better chance of winning with those two sitting in the press box and Nick Schultz and Andrew McDonald in the top four? You don't think Ron Hextall's going, hey, I got some players that I got to move, so... You know, maybe, you know, I'm trying to get Andrew McDonald out.
Yeah, so what's the logic with Chevy telling him to keep Chris Thorburn in the lineup? Maurice can, you know what? Maurice doesn't have to to use the language that he does when he talks about Chris Thorburn. Every time Paul Maurice talks about Chris Thorburn, it's glowingly, right?
Anytime any of them talk about Chris Thorburn, it's glowingly.
Well, but honestly, whose decision is it to play Chris Thorburn on the second line when things get thin? It's not Chevy saying you put him on the second line. It's Maurice. Who are people going to look at? Like, come on, like these roster moves, deployment, schemes, the power play, penalty kill, that's not on management. That's on the coach. That's on the coach. Now, no matter what you do, whatever system it is, like the power play, for example, you have Patrick Laine. Everybody's going. Everybody sees that shot. Everybody sees potential in it. He's a second Alex Ovechkin. Why the fuck aren't you doing everything you can to imitate everything Washington does with their power play? Why not? Why don't you try to find plug and play and try to find your backstrom that's going to get Ovechkin the puck? And scheme it that way. This is a copycat league. Every professional sport is a copycat sport. You do what it takes, and you look at what's working, and you try to emulate it.
But at the same time, right? Chevy could be saying, "Paul, you have to. I want Chris Thorburn in the lineup." Right? But Maurice is going. Okay. Maurice is probably going like, fuck, okay, I got to figure out where to put this guy. So I'm probably going to have to put him on a line with Wheeler and Little because Wheeler and Little can carry him, right? It's no different than freaking them having, or like Haxel having to put Andrew McDonald with Ivan Provorov. He can't put him with freaking Nick Schultz because they're going to get shelled every night. He's got to put him with someone that can carry him.
Well, either
it's
that,
not like they're gonna. I honestly wouldn't run it past them saying, Chevy going, I want Thorburn in the lineup, and Maurice going, okay, fuck my life, where am I gonna play him? I'm gonna have to play him with someone that can carry him.
I think that everybody's in agreement. Like my thought is that. Along the lines from management through coach, like they're not going to agree 100% on everything, but I think that in general, they all share the same philosophy. You don't bring in a coach that's going to go completely against what your philosophy is. Like Chevy's still the one that's built the team. And my end game in all these questions is, are we really just distracting ourselves from asking Quet hasn't seen a playoff win yet?
Oh, I fully put this on. I'm not sorry. I've been saying this with Ryan for how many years? This Chevy has built this team, and they're in it where they are because of how Chevy has built this team. And you know, your buddy Poppy Jim Toth asked the question the other day, and I actually agreed with him. What has this team done to deserve to stay together? Like they have the same core from Atlanta. So why is Paul Maurice going to get canned when they have a core that has done nothing since they've been in Atlanta? Like what the fuck? You have a room that's lost, like that's not paying attention to the coach, not following the coach, and is tuning him out. Okay, so this you're going to fire your second coach in how many seasons? 6 seasons. But yet, you know, Little, Wheeler, Bufflin, Enstrom, they all get to stay together. But they've done nothing to prove they deserve it. So, I just don't understand that logic. Like, I don't understand why is it Paul Maurice that's probably going to get canned. Chevy's not going to get questioned. Why not? And then why not, ship someone out and say, you know what, you guys, like, this isn't working. We're going to have to try something different here because I'm not going to fire another coach in 2 years or however many years Paul Maurice has been around.
I'm in the same boat. Like this team hasn't accomplished anything, and some Jets fans out there might whine and cry over that statement, But what is they? What have they really accomplished in the grand scheme of NHL accomplishments over the past six seasons? They have,
nothing.
They
you're
have,
right.
They haven't accomplished nothing. Anything. And it's you're it's right. it's 6 years
you're,
now.
You're right. You're right. What did Paul Maurice do in Toronto?
What has Kevin Cheveldayoff done in Winnipeg?
That doesn't matter.
Why doesn't it matter? Yeah, He's the GM. He's the GM.
Who's the first to go in any situation? Who's the first to blame in any sport?
It's been 6 years. I'm sorry.
Who's the first to blame in any sport at any time when things go wrong?
6 years. I can understand.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter though. Who's the first to go? Because the GM is right below ownership, right? Like you're blaming Chevy, right? Right? Okay, fine. You can question all his decision making and everything like that. I question if Chevy's really pulling the strings. I question if it's not Mark Chipman and True North pulling the strings. Why the hell would you hire a rookie coach and a rookie GM to start your franchise off? Why? You know, Heisinger's been Chipper's right hand man forever, right? Like, why would you hire two greenhorns to run your team?
I can ask enough.
Because you want them to do exactly what you want them to do, right?
Wait, wasn't he the assistant GM? Like, wasn't he
an assistant GM for Chicago?
And then, but wasn't he in charge of the AHL team, or he won
the Wolves
freaking cups with them, or Memorial Cups?
He was. I think he won a Calder Cup, right, with the Chicago Wolves.
Calder, not a Memorial.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's 11 o'clock now. I'm a little tired. Been up since 4.
Okay, so here's another question then. If we're looking at Chipman now, and we're asking questions there, then why isn't anybody asking the question, how important is it really to have a winning team here?
You know, you say that, and there's an article, I'm just checking my phone, it's not on my, there's an article on cbc.ca say Winnipeg Pro Sports franchise is in line for $15.2 million in 2017.
Yep.
And it has a picture of the Winnipeg Jets, so.
Fat subsidy from the city of Winnipeg.
Yeah, I haven't read the article, but I'm assuming the Bombers are not meeting them 50-50 on that revenue.
The Bombers are getting money too. Like the article was about all Winnipeg's sports franchises.
Okay.
I'll just.
True North is in line for $7 million. And then there's a bunch of refunds. Oh yeah, it goes into it. Sorry.
Yeah, they give them a bunch. They get a ton of tax breaks, right? Is what True North is going to be getting. The other thing is that there's an arrangement in terms of what True North is going to rake in from the casino.
Yeah, I was just reading that part.
Yeah, so there's a pretty hefty percentage that goes right into TNSC's pocket there. So, I mean, your building is full. People are going to keep going to these games out of fear of losing the team. The media is soft on you. Everything is lined up to line your pockets. They've given you a big swath of land so that you can build your hotel complex. I mean, is it Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment Syndrome, where it's like you can just kind of float along because people are going to go? People are going to get put money in your pocket?
But you know what? I say that, like, are the players going to put up with it?
Well, they have been. Wheeler's been there for 6 years. Bufflin's been there for 6 years.
But they both took letters. But he's shown discontent, though, Wheeler, especially at the end of last season.
Yeah, but he put the fucking C on his jersey. So
you expect him to turn it down?
Yeah.
But you expect him to turn it down? Turn down the C because
it doesn't.
What?
It doesn't strike me as wanting to disassociate yourself at all from what's happening.
What do you mean disassociate? He's got a contract to play hockey here.
Well, then,
if they want to give him the captaincy, he's going to take the captaincy and do the best he can with who's here. Like, come on, like. At this point in time, when you look back at the horses we had year one and who we have now, you know, barring the injuries, if everybody's healthy, you can't tell me that this lineup is considerably better than it was year one.
Well, individually with talent, like individual talents, in a lot of places, sure, but look at the record.
Sure. And whose fault is that? Whose fault is it that we have the shittiest power play in the league? Chevy's fault? So is Chevy that puts out that Wheeler and fucking Lowry in the first unit and not have Liney out on the first unit and put him in the second unit? Is it Chevy's fault that the PK is brutal and soft on the puck? Like, come on. If there's anything that you could control and just plug bodies in and skate around without having skill, it's your penalty kill.
Chevy is Paul Maurice's boss.
You know what? Sure, he's a boss. Are you a manager? Do you manage staff out?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you hire somebody to perform a task, do you coddle them through it or do you walk them through it? Or is that person supposed to do that task for you?
They're supposed to do the task for me.
Yeah, you delegate, right?
Yeah.
You delegate the coach, like just like Chevy's hired Maurice, right?
Yeah, and then you know what I do when they can't fucking perform?
You fire the coach.
Yeah, and then if I keep hiring fuck ups, and if my team is a fuck up that I'm overseeing, guess what my boss eventually asks me?
How many coaching changes have there been in the NHL in 6 years? We've only had two coaches.
I have a question. When Noel was fired, who were his assistant coaches?
Pascal Vincent and Charlie Huddy.
Who are Paul Maurice's assistant coaches?
It's up to him to hire his staff.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
I don't know. I think we're talking about a future.
We're talking about a future. It's his career too, right? You think he's going to sink or swim with whatever Chevy's telling him to do, especially with his coaching staff? If it is, then it's really bad. Then this is beyond reproach.
When Haxtell got hired in Philadelphia, he was given the option. He can get, if he wants different assistant coaches, he was given that option. And he chose to stick with what they had in Philly.
Was he hired in the offseason, though?
Yeah, he was hired in the offseason.
Yeah, so when Paul Maurice is hired mid-season, it's kind of a difficult thing to do, right?
Well, yeah, for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Then he has the offseason to make the choice.
But he makes that decision.
Mm.
Like, he has to make that decision.
I guess.
The Chevy continued. You know what? I'm not a big Chevy lover either, but we can't ignore the fact that Paul Maurice is messing up with this team as far as in-game decisions, as far as deployment on special teams, as far as who he puts in the lineup and who he puts where. Like, it's undeniable. I don't think Chevy is that involved in the everyday decision making between the lines, right? on the ice. No way. Chevy isn't the greatest GM, but he sure as hell isn't.
I thought he was the best GM in the NHL.
I've never said that.
No, I make you joke. I mean, just a joke about.
No, but I've never said that. But come on, like he's not running the team during the game. Paul Maurice isn't on a headset with Chevy telling him who to put in where. It doesn't happen.
You know what?
Chevy's not drawing up the schemes.
All right.
Chevy's not drawing up the PK. He's not making that final decision. I highly doubt it. There's no way that an NHL coach would let a GM control it that much.
I honestly completely disagree with you. I think a lot of GMs tell coaches what they want, and I honestly think that.
All right, folks, agree to disagree time because we're 40 minutes in. Brian, though, what do you think?
Oh, that was good talk. Glad to listen. Shit, I don't even remember what we were talking about now.
What are you talking about for the last 25 minutes?
I know. I kind of spaced out a little bit.
Jesus.
Chevy good, Pomo bad, Stanley Cup 2019.
All right. Kat.
Logan Stanley.
Kat, before we get to Ask the Super Fans, how's your team doing?
They're doing fantastic, oddly enough.
What's going right in Philadelphia after kind of a shit start to the season? In fact, I believe that when they were about to play the Jets, you referred to them as, you know, I don't know, not really a pile of shit, but something along those lines.
You said that the Jets were going to score. You said that the Jets were going to score like 2 minutes into the game, right? I think that's what you were saying. Something to that effect.
Yeah, guys, I'm just trying to find my cell phone cord.
Okay, so what about the Flyers? Is so good right now?
Oh, sorry, I'm just doing something. Yeah, so right now, they had a slow start to the season, and they had no goaltending. But traditionally, Steve Mason has a very slow October. He usually starts heating up in November, which ironically kind of started to happen when they faced the Jets, which was nice and fun. They have the second-ranked power play in the NHL right now. They have three of the top scorers in the NHL, and Claude Giroux, Jake Voracek, and Wayne Simmonds. Steve Mason has got like a 930 save percentage over the last nine games. I think he's played eight. Everything's just kind of clicking right now. They've got the highest scoring defense in the NHL, which is like surprising when you look at their defense, when they've got a 19-year-old who's playing better than some veterans, who was eating Hjalmar Jagr's lunch all game when they played Florida. They got Shane Goss to spare on there, and Ratko Gudas, Michael Delzato. They got a nice top four, and then they can slot in AMAC, which is very hard for me to say has been looking like a NHL defenseman. Granted, a 5-6 defenseman, but if Ivan Provorov can make him look like a serviceable guy on the blue line, you know, I'm not going to complain. They've been battling some injuries, which is crazy that they're pulling this off without Matt Reed and Sean Couturier.
Who?
Raffle was out for a bit. Ghost missed, I think, a game or two. Gudas had the 6-game suspension, so they've had their share of, issues, but the great thing about this team is they found a way to win. There was a graph out when the schedule came out saying the Flyers had one of the hardest schedules in the NHL due to back-to-backs and games played an X amount of nights. And the first half of this season, I mean, they probably had an even harder schedule than the Jets, with maybe as much injuries plagued on the team as the Jets, but yet they're finding ways to win. And yeah, it's been a really fun, last couple of weeks. Everyone's just kind of loving it. And obviously this isn't going to last. Let's be realistic.
You're not going to win the next 50 games this year?
Yeah, like it's not going to happen.
You're a non-fan.
I think the shitty thing is the Metro is so good. Everyone in the Metro is on a win streak right now. The Rangers, the Penguins, Columbus. So the Flyers going on a 10-game win streak really is doing nothing for them. I think they're third in the Metro right now. But it's going to be a dogfight, and I would not be surprised if the five teams in the playoffs in the East are all from the Metropolitan Division.
We don't.
It's just They're that good.
We don't have any idea what it's like to be in a tough division in Winnipeg. but you're right. Pittsburgh have won 7 in a row. Flyers 10 in a row. Washington 5 in a row. Columbus 7 in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of sucks because, you know, you want to gain some momentum on your rivals, but at the same time, I mean, they're keeping, like, no one, like, even me, I'm like looking and I'm going, this year could be just one of those years where you're just like a development year. You got Travis Konechny, Ivan Provorov, Ghost in a second year pro. You know, maybe we make it, maybe we don't. You know, based on what Ron's been doing in Philly, he's trying to build a contender here, and you know they're not going to win the cup, but you see this and you see what they're doing with what they have, and you're just like, you get kind of excited, and then you see what's going on in Lee Valley, and that they were on a crazy win streak. I think they're second in the East in the standings, so it's just fun seeing what Ron's doing down in the farm and how it's reflecting up in the NHL. So it's been fun. It's been hard because as a Flyers fan, we had a rough couple years back with Paul Holmgren at the helm, but we are definitely where the Jets are right now, just frustrated and just like shitty. But I mean, it's just, you get, like, Ron Hextall has come in here, and he just has been asset management, like, machine, just dumping salary, cleaning up the cap, and just getting assets. And you look at some of the trades that he's done, like, Braden Coburn for Radko Gudas and a first that turned into Travis Konechny. You know? He unloaded Vinny and got, Vinny and Shannon got Jordan Wheel and like a third in return, you know, like just seeing what he's trying to clean up, and the fact that like they went into the last year's draft with 10 draft picks.
Yeah, but
they had 10 for next year as well.
You know what Hextall is going to be remembered as though, right? The guy that passed on Logan Stanley.
Yeah, that's true.
Forever.
That's true. I know. There's a Flyers book coming out for their 50th anniversary. Apparently Vancouver was calling on to hire Hextall. And that's when the Flyers swooped in and were like, no, we want you in Philadelphia. So it's kind of interesting to be like, where would we be if Vancouver had hired Hextall over Benning?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Poor Canucks fans. Yeah. I just, while you were talking about that, I just pulled up the standings. Something interesting that's kind of happening in over on the Jets side of things. The Western Conference, the Central Division, there are now three teams that have really kind of pulled out in the lead. Chicago's still way up in front. The Minnesota Wild have won 6 in a row, and the St. Louis Blues are way up. There's 7 points separating those two teams from the Jets, who, of course, have played more games. And then chasing them, of course, Nashville, Dallas, and Colorado's the shits. But if the season ended right now, you would actually see 5 teams from the Pacific Division making the playoffs, which is interesting for the division that's still supposed to be the shits, right?
Yeah. It's interesting. On the broadcast yesterday, they mentioned that there's, I think, 6 teams in the NHL who are under 200 pounds. And I think they're all out of the East, and how they're saying that the East is focusing more on speed and skill, whereas the West was all about speed and size. The Cup last year, now everyone's making that switch to be smaller but faster and skilled versus the East teams, anyways,
which is why the balance of power shifted over to the East, right?
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, you look at seeing what...
We're getting bigger.
Yeah.
Jets are getting bigger.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see what they've done, what Ron's done in 3 years. And it's insane to see, like, after the first round, like, how, like, some of the like gems that he's found, like Oscar Lindblom. In the, he's 20 years old in the Swedish Elite League, and he's leading the league in points. He was a fifth-round pick. Like, what the fuck? Like, that was Ron's pick in back in 2014, I think it was. You know, and then they signed undrafted player Philip Myers, who's going to be on Team Canada. You know, he's really like found some solid players outside of the first round, and I think that the Flyers are becoming one of those teams like Chicago that can find those gems. So it's just seeing what's coming up. It's exciting to be a Flyers fan because they've definitely got some beauties. And then watching Travis Konecny and Ivan Provorov play this year has just been like it's just so much fun.
Let's do Ask the Superfans because we are at 50 minutes. We did get Ask the Dog. Brian, I can hear those Oreos.
No, I actually haven't touched them.
Are you eating the good one? Like the what kind? Are the normal ones or one of the fancy American kind?
I bought a pack of mint Oreos today.
Oh yeah, that's the shit. You know what else was the shit? Everybody, fucking Rogue One.
Don't spoil it for me.
You already spoiled it. Now I know it's a good movie.
Oh great.
Yeah, you already spoiled it with your freaking Darth Vader.
Well, everyone knew that he was in it.
I know, but Jesus Christ.
That he was in it and it was awesome? Did that shock you?
Yeah, yes. Now I'm like, just like, I can't even. I'm like so excited for tomorrow.
I was almost in tears with the scenes. But anyways, it was really that good. All right. Here we go with Ask the Superfans. Hashtag Ask the Superfans over at us on Twitter. At AIH Superfans is the handle. Fire Chevy into the sun at Fueled by Dylan. Try to talk about Ben Chiarot positively for 5 minutes straight.
He only played.
A good thing we're about to end.
Oh, we're out of time.
He played less than 10 minutes today.
Yay. Yeah. He can't even get ice time for 5 minutes, let alone fucking us talking about him. All right, so now Jets trolling really trolled us with a whole bunch of stuff. So I'm just going to pick and choose a couple of these because, you know, person went to the effort of putting all this shit out, right? Here's a question. Is Myers done? If you protect 3 and 7 and expose Myers, which forward do you expose?
Lowry.
Not Lowy, as he wrote in his question?
Him too. You can expose both of them.
He's not getting left unprotected.
He won't. Oh. He should, but he won't.
He's our future captain. Remember?
Yeah.
I used to think like that, and then I started learning what hockey was.
That's because you were a faithful listener of that show on Saturdays.
I was. I used to be before I found other options.
Is it bad fan experience-wise to have the Moose in Winnipeg? Seems like a sparse crowd. If Moose weren't here, would we have a National Lacrosse League team?
What?
That's what he asked. It's great to have the Moose, right?
I think it is because they're okay. So they're close by, right? So if you need a call up, they're close by. From an organizational standpoint, I think. It's good so you can keep some your eye. As coaches, like the coaches and the organization have like a close proximity to the players. And then like as a fan, how many fans can really afford to go see Jets games? You know, what's a Moose ticket? I haven't been to a Moose ticket, like a Moose game in like 10 years.
Like $20.
Yeah. So it's like a good family experience where
the you Jets get to see the baby Jets. Like,
hmm?
And you get to see the baby Jets, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think the selling point of this Moose versus the old Moose is that these are players that you could actually see develop into the big squad.
Yeah. Versus the old Moose where they're developing into Vancouver Canucks, right? And they're then going to Vancouver and you don't get to see them live anymore.
Yeah.
You see them as like the Vancouver Canucks, so they're not really, you know, your team. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one, again, Jets trolling. Would you rather Winnipeg get the draft, the All-Star game, or another outdoor game?
The draft.
Draft, for sure.
Yeah.
I've been to a draft and an outdoor game, and I will say draft as well, because it was awesome. this is from Frisbee Sugar Plum at Nax is Silent. Does Kat plan on resurrecting her Fire Haskell into the Sun Twitter username anytime soon?
When Coots and Reed get back to full health, I hope he does not make some bad life choices like Chris Vandeville on the fucking third line or Belmyre on the third line. I would like to see... I would not like to see Andrew McDonald in overtime, at the start of overtime, with a game on the line with a divisional rival. Like, I just don't want to see that.
But that might be the GM's decision, though.
Fuck off.
Yeah. No. That night that happened, there was like 14 scouts in the building, and there were, I think, two from Vancouver and one from Boston. So I'm pretty sure Ron was just like, you know, I'm trying to get a first round pick from Andrew McDonald from Benning, so just make him look good, everyone.
Hanger Hockey at Hanger _ Hockey. Did I commit a sin by watching Rogue One tonight instead of watching the Jets game? From firsthand experience, fuck no.
No.
It's because you were sinning with him.
As much as Ehlers was awesome, he isn't even close to fucking Darth Vader. Not even close.
Darth Vader could probably score.
You know what's crazy, Alan? Like, reading about Rogue One and how all these nerds were like so upset because they had to reshoot scenes in the summer, and they thought this was going to mean that the movie was awful and that the movie turned out awful and that they had to reshoot everything because they needed to change the storyline. And now hearing everyone say it's like the most amazing movie ever, it's like, sometimes I think nerds are just
nerds like us.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about Rogue One is how everybody is bitching and moaning because it's the second Star Wars movie in a row with a female lead. And yet you look at the ensemble cast and it's like, I think I remember three women in the whole movie. Like, literally thousands of men.
Or are the people complaining about how the movie is about war, yet Star Wars,
that was the best thing I saw on Twitter. Someone wrote an article. For the first time, they've acknowledged it's war. It's fucking Star Wars.
And two of the opening crawls had war in like the first word.
let's see here. Number one, Nick Antropov fan at Hockey Lake 72. Let's see here. Wave, sign, trade. Those are the three options. Wave, sign, trade. Tanev. I guess this is at the end of the year? Or when contracts are up, or I don't know. Tanev.
Wave.
What? Wave?
Wave, like...
Oh, I thought this was like fuck, marry, kill.
No. No.
No, that's for Thorburn, Stewart, and Schrott.
No. So do we wave, do we sign, do we trade? Tanev. I mean, really, wave and trade, it's like, well, you trade if you can.
You always trade if you can. This is Chevy we're talking about, so he just lets everyone walk for nothing. So, wave.
I don't think he has any trade value, so either wave him or sign him to an AHL deal.
Lowry.
They're signing him.
I think they're signing him. Kopp?
I want him to sign. But...
They're signing too. He's good. He's been good.
Our pal John Malloy, who I think was at the game, and probably doesn't bode well for what he's saying here. Does the 10-year Chevy process apply to university students as well? I am in year 4 and think I'm going to fail my final tomorrow. Yeah, because you're at the fucking Jets game, dude.
His final is at 9 a.m., by the way, too. So,
Oh, that's wonderful.
I don't know if he's with Lynam at the tavern, too, but I don't know. Anyways.
I think that might be it. I'm just clicking on our account to see if there are any other responses that didn't use the hashtag. Can I listen? This is Chadwick Schwab, Speedy F underscore three. Can I listen if I don't have Apple? Yes, we post the link to hear it on Podomatic, or if you have any Podcatcher app, you can find it there. And Brian, you also said, do you have an Android? Download Podcast Republic.
How is he going to hear this?
Somebody should tweet at him.
You can send him a link.
He's asking how to.
I'll post a link to the show online. I always do, so if someone can forward it to him. Right?
Just reply to him. Don't be so difficult.
You're all difficult. I think that's... here's one more. Jimmy, at Jimmy underscore Peg. If Hutch's play continues, what should the Jets do about their backup goaltending situation next year, and what will they do?
Well, they're hoping that he gets picked by the Golden Knights, right?
Yeah, that they're banking on that.
Yeah, and then Comrie comes up, so
that's what they should do. What they will do is sign Pavlik to an extension. Hope that
I will drink bleach live on the podcast if that happens.
All right, so that's Ask the Superfans, and we're at an hour, so probably a good time to step away. But before we go, anyone want to say anything else? Star Wars Rogue One, best ever. Go see it.
Shout out to Brian here, who was live tweeting our podcast as we were recording.
Great.
So. I'd like to just let everyone know that tomorrow is the number one hockey boy rankings that come out. So you guys should stay tuned to Flyers Twitter to see the much anticipated, much debated weekly rankings.
Fucking number one hockey boy.
I'm a little angry at Flyers Twitter because I didn't win the Gossis Bear jersey.
Oh, you know what I'm really upset about? Is that somebody on your podcast who shall not be named, who is not on tonight because they canceled, bought a Flyers jersey.
Oh.
I think you guys should ask next time if he decides to come on.
That well, if the Jets lose, I'm sure he will. The that black Flyers outdoor jersey is fucking sweet.
It is.
I know.
It's pretty sexy. I'd have to say that's pretty sexy.
Yeah. I'll get you guys all Provorov jerseys for Christmas.
Hey, sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Speaking of jerseys, Brian, I saw your reply for that Sweden jersey.
Oh, yeah.
I was just killing time before Rogue One, and I stepped into a Winners. And Winners in Canada, like, never has jerseys. And lo and behold, they didn't have any other Sweden ones, though. But they had Europe, they had Canada, they had Russia. So...
Did they have a Europe in XL?
I believe so.
You should go back.
Slide into my DMs later, and we can talk.
All right.
And on that note, I guess me and Brian got shit to do, so my future Canadian husband. Oh, all right, folks, on that happy note, I am at Slip with Five Eyes or Slip.
I'm Poppy.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Part Cat.
Part Cat. And we are all AIH super fans. Thanks for listening to 50 episodes. And we will see you with episode 51 in the near future. Bye.
Later.